Hello and welcome to the Movielicious, the show where we talk about the movies we've seen in the past 2 weeks. This is episode 21 for February 24th, 2010. Step it and dance. Hello everyone and welcome to the Movielicious. We have an amazing show for you today, reviewing Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief, Wolfman, and Valentine's Day. And we are, all three of us, very excited. Right, Nicole? Right, Turfster?
Oh yeah, totally.
No, they all suck. There we go. No need to do the show. Let's get
a whole lot of mediocrity on this episode. It's actually Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
It's the Lightning Thief. Americanized title.
Is that what it is?
Really?
The Philosopher's Stone, because you wouldn't know what a philosopher is.
And apparently you don't know what lightning is either.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's terrible, amazing. Really. I would have a go at Chris Columbus and just be like, whoa, hang on, we're a bit more intelligent than you give us, thinking for. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. First of all, let me thank the chat room for being here. If I had listened to the Incredible Podcast of Amazing Awesomeness, have said, how's it going to the chat channel? Yeah. But I won't, because apparently it's
copyrighted.
I can't anymore.
So how do you know about this? How do you know about this?
Well, I sort of botched my... Exactly. I was going to say, if I hadn't listened...
I told him.
Yeah, exactly. It's okay.
Patrick, I told you, right?
Yes, exactly. That's what happened. Absolutely. So thanks, everyone in the chat channel, for being here, as usual. It's very nice to have you. The usuals are here. Fang14, Razim, and others also. Thank you all. We hope you will enjoy the show.
Do you want to know Fang's real name?
Sure.
14. I've got it. Hang on. Somewhere in my emails.
I'm
going to find it.
But
now.
Maybe he doesn't want you to tell it.
Yeah.
Frank, say if you don't want people to say, where is he?
So, quick question while he's doing
it
that.
Is...
did Kishel make a poster?
Well, I didn't get any. So,
Cruzy is his last name. Cruzy, I think.
Wait, don't say his last name. Are you insane?
Well, because I haven't said his first name, so I'm assuming there's more than one. So, it's all good.
Okay, let's stop there then.
Yeah.
Jeez, I thought you were going to say his first name.
Well, no, his first name's just I. That's all it is. So I don't
know. You got
a
social security number too?
All right. No, I didn't get. Oh, well, Terpster went away because he's being punished, apparently.
Uh-oh.
I didn't get a poster from Kishel, so I don't know what's happening. We might have one later for the show itself, but we'll see. And she told me that she might be using the old Wolfman poster to do the one for the show, the one from the 50s or whatever. So we'll see.
The better one.
Exactly. So, you know what? You seem very excited. I am very excited. The chat room is super excited. Let's have a show, shall we?
Yay!
Let's start with... you seem to have a lot to say about Percy Jackson, so let's start with that. Nicole,
mm-hmm.
It might seem like you didn't love the movie.
Why would you say that?
I don't know. You seemed like very dismissive a minute ago.
It's got no taste. You can't know. It's a genius of filmmaking when you see it.
So is that the movie we're starting with? Are you going to intro it?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you. You always intro the movie.
Percy Jackson and the Lightning.
Wait,
are we in a different podcast here?
No. I forgot. Okay. Yes. So Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief is a movie by Christopher Columbus. Was it based on a book?
Yes.
Or not? Yes. Okay.
A smash hit seller.
You know what, Terpster? You sound like you have disappeared. You're on another mic or something.
Sorry, okay, that's my bad.
Yeah. I figured it was.
Jeez,
I was
like, do I sound bad or do I sound okay?
No, you sound terrible.
You do what? Sound terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. Okay, call me back.
Okay, Percy Jackson is a movie based off a book. It's basically an American person who decided, you know what, little wizard dude seems to be making okay. I'm going to do the same thing. And he basically Americanized, what's the name of the dude again?
Well, Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, and made Percy Jackson, who's this sort of teenager kind of dude who turns out to be the a demigod.
It's all about the Greeks.
Right.
The Greek gods. I mean, that's really...
Basically, Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief is Harry Potter, American Harry Potter meets the Greek gods.
Wasn't it made by some of the same people?
So it was made by Chris Columbus. Who also made the first two Harry Potters, if I'm not mistaken. And Chris Columbus is the kind of, how can I say it?
Cinematic genius.
Yes, he's kind of the Walt Disney for kids sort of movie maker, which is fine if you're a kid.
Yeah, he did Home Alone 1 and 2, which are my favorite Christmas movies.
Right. Yeah.
You like Home Alone?
Me,
what is wrong with you?
What?
Yeah.
It's I don't like it.
You still sound terrible, by the way.
You do sound terrible.
He also did the first two Harry Potters, which, if you remember correctly, are the most terrible of the Harry Potters. Not because they're terrible by, you know, just in and of themselves, but they're just really kid oriented, which is fine, I guess. Jackson does take the same kind of route a little bit, except it's not for kids, it's kind of for teenagers. I would say, right? And it stars a few very interesting actors. There's
Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan. Uma Thurman has a small role.
And I'm a bad actor. That's all he said.
Kevin McKidd plays Poseidon.
Sean Bean, Zeus.
What?
Sean Bean was Zeus.
Well, there you go. Yeah, exactly. And they all look like they play very, very badly, which is terrible because they are actually good actors. So it would seem that Chris, whatever his name is, Columbus, can't direct. I suppose.
Uma Thurman's in it. Rosario
she
Dawson, who I love Rosario. Yeah, Uma was not very good in this movie. I thought it was interesting.
Who is good on this movie?
Yeah, okay, yeah. No, you got me.
All right,
well,
so Nicole...
What was interesting about the movie is I've never read the books, but from what I hear from people that have read the books, they did... They tried... Potter by putting Percy Jackson's name in the title, because in the books, it hasn't... Percy Jackson is not in the title, from what I understand. So they said, oh, you know, like Harry Potter, we're going to make Percy Jackson. And it's called Percy Jackson and the Olympians, : The Lightning Thief. That is how the movie title is here in the States.
Well, in the rest of the world where it's done properly, it's just Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief. You know, we keep it a little bit more, you know, concise, really. We don't need to have more words to make it sound better.
Maybe they need to like say this is, you know, the Olympic, because like you said,
I'm surprised they didn't call it
the Greek theme is happening.
Exactly.
What's that?
I'm surprised they didn't call it the Winter Olympians to try and like do a tie-in with the games. It's terrible. I love Greek stories. Greek mythology is fantastic. And
I love Greek
Clash
mythology.
Of the Titans, which is coming up, just looks awesome. It's a remake of Clash of the Titans. And that obviously is a better version of the same universe as this, really.
So the story, to sum it up, is this kid who doesn't really like his life, wink, wink, is turns out to be, as we said, the demigod. And they sort of tie in kind of all the things that kids are, you know, angsty about, and they're like, well, maybe your ADD is because you're the son of a god and you are have too much action and yeah. you know yeah. energy in you, and
he's
you know
not what, dyslexic this... he just reads Greek and yeah, I was like,
did we say who his dad is? His dad's Poseidon.
Yeah, it's Poseidon. I yeah. think I said it already. His dyslexia is not dyslexia. It's because when he sees Greeks, the letters sort of shake and turn into English, which, by the way, has the exact same number of letters that in Greek.
It's very handy.
Oh, my God. It's basically this movie. I'm sorry, I can't hold it anymore. It's Harry Potter for morons. That's what it is. It's
the
terrible.
Worst thing about it, Patrick, is the best thing about Greek mythology is how horrid it all is. Like, for example, the Medusa, for example, she says in the film that she used to date Poseidon. Whereas in Greek mythology, Poseidon raped her, and that's how she kind of became this mutated thing. And so they miss out all this drama and right. all this kind of over-the-topness, you know, this whole theatrical element to it. And I get it's a kid's thing, and that's fair enough.
They really toned it down. Yeah.
The worst bit of the film, though, and we have to mention it, Pierce Brosnan's hair. The wig in this film, it should have a credit as like an extra cast member, because my lord, it was atrocious.
There was a lot of cheesy moments too in this movie, like kind of wow, that they really kind of skimped on the CGI on that.
I mean, what about the cheesiest of bits where he goes, you know, Pierce Brosnan goes to Percy, here, Percy, take this. Only use it as a very powerful weapon, but it's a pen. Oh, it's not a pen! Because the pen is mightier than the sword, you see? That's what we did there. It's still a sword, though. So actually, it's just a sword that's better than other swords.
Funny was he said, don't use this unless the moment is dire, basically. And then he was whipping it out, like, constantly.
Exactly. It was like a teenage boy. Oh, yeah. Also, the whole kind of... Perthius, whatever his name is, the winged Converse trainers. I'm not sure about that, really. Yeah, you know, I'm all for kids, you know, hip hopping and, you know, getting down. But yeah, you know, having winged sandals, fair enough. That's Greek. Having winged Converse trainers, that's just not really there, is it?
I don't know. The winged trainers were, I guess, sort of okay. It's okay to adapt and to.
You wanted those?
Yeah, I sort of did. But, you know, the thing that bothered me a little bit more in the movie than the Converse trainers, if we want to, like, really go into why the movie is horrible, apart from the fact that it is horrible, they start the movie, they give you roughly 15 seconds of character explanation, development, and all that, and throw him in an action scene. And it goes from action scene to action scene without you caring one bit about any of these characters, because they don't give them substance at all, which is the main difference between a Harry Potter character and a Percy mm-hmm. Jackson character, because Harry Potter is all about character development, and they make you care about the kid and the world that he's in and the different people he encounters. You care about all this, and the action sort of comes afterwards, and it's satisfying, even though it's not thrown in your face 15 times during the movie. In this one, it's just... All right, we need Greeks. We need to use everything that we have available from the Greek mythology. So every single scene is going to have its little thing from the Greek mythology. Here it's a harpy. Here it's it's a Medusa. There you have a Minotaur. Blah blah blah. And you don't care at any point. The action isn't good.
Here's the thing. You can't think too much when you watch this movie.
You can't, but you won't.
Because if you really are into Greek mythology and you kind of, like Terpstra said, you were like, what? what's going on with that storyline and why did they do that? And people that have read the book say that, you know, this is an awful representation of what the books really are. And if you haven't read the books, for me, I didn't think too much as I was watching it. It was kind of like, okay, the opening scene told me exactly what I was in for. How Poseidon comes out of the ocean and then walks and the water goes away. And it's just kind of cheesy how that happens. I'm like, okay, I get what I'm in for. So I ended up just kind of at that moment taking it for what it was. And I actually did kind of have fun watching the movie. I didn't really like you said, I didn't connect with the characters, but I really didn't care at that point because I knew it was going to be one of those movies. The way I look at this movie, definitely not as good as Harry Potter, but definitely not as bad as something like Vampire Diary or Vampire's Assistant. Yeah, it's kind of somewhere in between, in my opinion.
I wouldn't say in between. I'd say it's kind of, it's better than Vampires, but it's nowhere near Harry Potter.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, the first couple of Harry Potters were not that great, and it was Chris Columbus. It's not that they're not great. They're good movies, but really children-oriented, and they have great qualities for when you look at them in that way. This one, I thought, to be honest, I didn't completely dislike it. I sort of had mild fun watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just has no redeeming quality at all. There's nothing to save in this movie. It's the
There is. There's Rosario Dawson.
She's pretty awesome.
Fine.
You still sound terrible, by the way.
Oh, okay, that's fine. That's good.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay.
I thought there was a funny scene in the movie where they go to Vegas. To find these pearls. That's kind of their adventure. They're on this adventure to get to Hades.
Yeah. By the way, can I point out how ridiculous it is that the girl sort of jumps in the adventure after 15 seconds of knowing Percy?
Yeah, that's kind of funny. That was kind of funny.
How he whooped her ass. Nothing gets a girl like that going more than a guy who can beat her at sword fighting. Oh, yeah.
I love the last scene where they actually pan out to show them sword fighting. I'm like, yeah, you guys should have just stayed right closer. Actually panning out to see them sword fight was not good.
Yeah.
But anyway, when they go to Vegas, I'm thinking they drive by Caesar's Palace, and I'm thinking Caesar's Palace, that would be perfect for this movie, you know? But they go to this casino called the Lotus, and I'm like, is there actually a casino? Like, I had to think for a minute, and then I realized later on, no, it's part of the story.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of funny.
Okay, you're easily amused. Move on.
I don't go to Vegas often. I do. So I just thought it was interesting how they tied in.
They had this element in this make-believe story, which was fictional, which I just found hilarious. I love that. Nice touch to include.
I like the story revolving around that casino.
All right.
Thought that was kind of neat. So
okay, so I guess I thought we were all going to be giving lames here, but apparently Nicole, you enjoyed it, so I'm not sure.
I'm giving it a meh. So
okay. Oh right, you have this cop out system.
Yeah. It's everything is black and white.
Turfster.
I'm gonna give it a woot.
What?
Because Nicole posted that I've given the least woots on this show. No, I won't. Okay, it's a lame. I'm sorry. It's terrible. I want to read the book though. In fairness, because I'm hoping that the concept's kind of cool, but the execution's terrible. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that the books will be better. So yeah, but lame.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for me, you know that I cannot give a meh, and that actually doesn't matter at all because I would have given it a woot. No, a lame anyway. Wow. Because I'm searching for Wolfman on IMDb at the same time, so I got confused. So the title for the next movie is Wolfman. Right.
The Lame Man. That's what they should have called it.
Really? You thought it was... Okay. You thought it was lame. We're giving it away straight away.
Oh, right. Sorry. I thought we'd done it.
Oh. Okay. So yeah. So Percy Jackson, lame, meh. So I guess it's a pretty bad average. You probably shouldn't go see it.
Before we move on to Wolfman, we actually did get an iTunes review and from Pat K, and he had mentioned. I'm assuming it's he said in his
Patricia.
Yeah, that's true. He said that. Oh, and for the Percy Jackson movie, everyone who reads the book. Like books like me knows that it wasn't very good, but to anyone who didn't, they love it. So the review with that in mind.
So I probably read the book then. That must be what it happened.
Yeah.
I don't remember it because I thought it was rubbish.
All right.
First opinion from somebody that read the book.
Thank you. Patty. You might be a Patty. We don't know. Okay. Wolfman is a classic horror movie from, what is it, the 50s? Remade, kind of. You know, it's lycanthropy, a werewolf story, kind of classic. Directed by Joe Johnston, and it stars most notably Benicio del Toro and the wonderful Anthony Hopkins, and also Emily Blunt.
Forgetting the best character, Hugo Weaving. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, Hugo Weaving also, obviously. Yeah, he is kind of
He was important. Amazing in it. He was great in it.
Yeah. Okay. So Joe Johnston did a few movies before that, none of which are really, you know, notable. There's The Rocketeer, which I'm sure Terpster will have loved.
No, I didn't actually.
Because, no? Okay.
Yeah,
Jumanji, Jurassic Park.
Amazing.
Jurassic Park 3, and he is going to do Captain America, the first Avenger, which is now in pre-production. So there you go. That's a little bit of... I'm very curious about what Captain America is going to be like, because it's a very difficult character to modernize.
I'll spoil it for you. He dies.
We don't know.
He dies in the comic books, so
yes,
sooner or later in the
film. Everyone dies in the comic books. And, you know, the way they've modernized Captain America is sort of believable. It's sort of this weird super soldier who was made a long time ago, a couple dozen years ago, and he was frozen. So that's why he's got this oldish kind of America G.I. Joe yay theme to him, which is not very common today. But anyway, that's Captain America. We'll talk about this when it's out. For now, we're talking about Wolfman. And so it's the classic story set in the early 1900s, maybe late 1800s, in England, with a man who's been estranged from his family coming back to his little English village where his father is the... Not the lord, but the man with the big mansion, property, whatever
Anthony
you want to call
Hopkins.
It. Right. It's Anthony Hopkins. Obviously, he's going to be rich and extremely powerful and
eccentric,
kind of. So yeah, I'm sort of misrepresenting him. He's sort of the old crazy man in his mansion in the movie, and Benicio del Toro comes back at the request of his sister-in-law-to-be, because his brother, her husband-to-be, has disappeared, and he hasn't seen his family for a very long time. The movie starts like this, and obviously lots of werewolfish action ensues. Since the movie is set in England, I'm going to ask Terpster what he thinks.
Well, we said a couple of episodes back about how this film suffered quite badly during its production. It was kind of passed around to a few different directors, lots of different scripts, lots of reshooting. And I think that really shows in the film. I found it to be quite fragmented, I guess. Like, for example, there were really gory bits, which just didn't feel like they should be there. And then there was just like, I totally got how like Emily Blunt was meant to be like this love interest, but that never really came through. And it just, I don't know, it just felt weak really all round.
Yeah.
But Hugo Weaving, amazing. You know, if they had had him on screen, for like, I don't know, an hour and a half. Could have been an Oscar winner. Unfortunately, though, it's a lamer.
Ooh, wow. Okay. Hugo Weaving comes in about, what, half of the way through?
Yeah, yeah, going Something on. Like yeah, that. Two-thirds, yeah.
All right, that was a short yet very to
concise.
The point review.
Concise. I don't know how I sound, so I don't want to talk too much.
Oh, you sound good now.
Oh, but well, I'll keep going then. Anthony Hopkins comes off like a loony, but is kind of cool, but he's not as good as Hugo Weaving. Del Toro, I don't get him. I really
don't either.
It's just, I don't know what that was about. Like, because I've seen films and he's been quite good, but this looked like it looked like a school production. Like he was terrible.
He was terrible. I just didn't enjoy him in this role at all.
Really?
I mean, so for me, the movie was really boring for the most part. There were a few scenes where they, you know, they did the obligatory, you know, make you jump kind of stuff, but I was bored through a lot of that movie.
Hmm.
Benicio del Toro, I don't know why, but I just always see him, whenever I see him in a movie, I just immediately think of Fear and Loathing. You know, it's really hard for me to see past that movie that he was in. And he's been in a few other things, but I just didn't really like him in this role. I don't see him as a love interest, like for his dead brother's, you know, fiance. Like that whole, like you said, that whole thing was kind of weird. There was a lot of things that they later on in the movie, they just assume we knew. And I didn't really like the flow, like you said, Terpster.
I think it all must come down to the change of crew and, you know, the whole project getting messed around so much. Because this was meant to come out, like, last year, like, quite early on, I think. And then it just got set back and set back and set back. And
yeah.
I wish they'd set it back indefinitely, but oh well.
So I don't know if you thought this, but I was talking to Tom Merritt yesterday, and we were discussing the werewolves themselves. And as I was watching the movie, I thought of Teen Wolf. And
it's because they wore the suits and stuff. And I'm like, come on. We're in an age now where we can do magical things with CG. I'm all for keeping a little bit of realism. And they had a few blends, but it was just, I don't know. Again, it just felt like I was expecting to see like the drama teacher just accidentally be on stage. And then like, oh, quickly, change the shot. You know, it was just, it just felt amateur-y. And like I said, it confused.
All right. So, quick trivia question: Johnny Four Fingers. Who gets the reference?
Johnny Four Fingers.
Fang 14 is saying this in the chat room.
Johnny Four Fingers.
Yes. You don't get it. You don't get a cookie.
What is it?
Fang 14. I'm proud of you. This is an excellent reference. All right.
Are you going to say?
No, I'm not.
What about the podcast listeners who are like us and a bit dim?
Okay.
You bring something up and not reference.
Usual Suspects, Benicio del Toro. Okay. That's what I think of when I see him. Whenever I see him,
I think
that's what, yeah.
But I do want to say, so here's a little bit of a spoiler. I won't say, so at the very end, the dying scene, was that the most ridiculous? That was like
a little bit of a spoiler.
Well, she just said that someone dies. You don't know who.
I said someone dies. Okay, but the way that they die is, like you said, it felt like we were in drama class watching him go through this death scene. I'm like, really?
That's how you're waiting for at the end for him to rebirth as a flower. Like, then that's an expressive dance.
All right. I have to interject here. And
if you give this a woo, I'm going to stab you. You don't understand. People should not see this film. It is terrible.
Okay, so I guess I'm going to change my judgment on this. No, okay. This is really two movies. Seriously. I say that from time to time, but it's really true on that one.
The rest of them haven't been, but this is true this time.
Yes, absolutely. There is a first part of the movie where you have some of the most amazing and incredible photography work ever. Like, it's fantastically shot and lit, and you really get an eerie feeling of the you know, countryside life in the UK, well, in England, in the late 1800s. It's superbly you get like great vistas, and the costumes are amazing, and all of this is really, really fantastic. And I think you'll back me up on this, guys, right?
Yeah, no, I forget who the cinematographer was, because I remember reading about them, and they'd done some really good stuff.
Well, I'm not sure.
Shelley Johnson, I think it was. I'm gonna Google. I'll find out.
Okay,
keep talking.
And so that's the first impression you get of the movie, and then you get to the werewolf parts of the movie, and save for a few transformation sequences, which are kind of well done and in CGs, but nothing amazing. Save for that, it's really Benicio del Toro in a hairy suit. And that's all it is. Like you were saying, I didn't think about Teen Wolf, but I could have thought of that. It made me think of Michael Jackson in Thriller. And it's like you expect him to start dancing at some point.
That'd be
it's
kinda nice.
So ridiculous, so ridiculously done. And you're like, exactly what you were saying, guys. Come on, it's 2010. Add in some CGs here and there,
and
you can
quality,
hear
yeah.
you can hear the production. You know, the producers going like, in an interview, I could totally hear them saying, "Well, you know, we really wanted to keep the traditional physical feeling of having prosthetics and costumes."
It's all,
you know,
about the original. That's all they would have kept coming back to. Is, yeah. Oh, the original had men in suits.
Exactly.
It's all fine.
But really, no, it's not. It's just Benicio del Toro in a hair suit. That's all it is, with fangs and. Yeah. And you know,
so, yeah, just to say, Shelley Johnson, just some of the other films that he's been director of photography on: The House Bunny, Jurassic Park 3. Let's see, what other?
Oh, right, The House Bunny. I love
House
that
Bunny.
Film.
Oh, but again, just some of the shots when they just, you know, just shoot her ass. Again, just beautiful. The lighting on it is just something else. What else did he do? He did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. So again, I mean, it's with a heritage like that, I was expecting big things. But, you know, it was actually good.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. I don't know about you, but the storyline was predictable. I figured it out, like, really quickly into the movie. I mean,
of course, you know everything straight away.
Yeah.
It's a remake, that's why.
Also... No, but even if you haven't seen the first one, and
I didn't
they
see the
do
first
go
one.
for the you know, easy scares several times, which kind of work, I guess, but the love interest
them.
Is not believable, and Benicio del Toro didn't bother me as much as he did you guys, but he wasn't stellar, and he's usually a lot better than that.
Overall, I just think it was a miscast really for him, unfortunately. I'm not saying he's a bad actor. I just don't think he was good in this movie.
It's really a mediocre movie in most of the scenes, and the only thing that's good in the movie is the cinematography, as I was saying, but it doesn't save it. So it's definitely a lame. Do not go
and
see that.
And Hugo Weaving. But
so, okay, Hugo Weaving, you know what everyone's been telling, has been saying, Hugo Weaving in this movie, he's amazing, he's fantastic, and he's so good. And
what?
He's just, he's Agent Smith in a 1902 costume.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was thinking Matrix.
Yeah, you're half expecting.
A great film.
I know, but...
You're expecting him
like
to go like, well, Mr. What's the
Anderson?
Name of the?
Yeah.
No, in this guy, like, oh, Mr. Right, Talbot. Right. This is the sound of inevitability.
I'd like that.
And you're like, you have Emily Blunt coming, pointing a gun to his head and going, dodge this, and he transforms into a werewolf or something.
Yeah, that's the thing. He starts shaking his head around and then becomes a werewolf. Brilliant.
Yeah.
The Matrix remade, but with werewolves.
What's good about Hugo Weaving in this movie or any movie? He always plays Hugo Weaving being stern and very serious.
Yeah, but he does it with a certain element of class. And I don't know, I think that speaks volumes. If you think that he was bad in this film, that goes to show what the rest of the film must be like, because he was good in this film.
But seriously, Hugo Weaving, Lord of the Rings, Matrix, Werewolf, it's the same character.
Yeah,
true.
It's a good character. Oh, what's wrong with that? It's like saying, oh, this
like
is disgusting.
Michael Cera.
This is the same Mars bar every single time. And, oh, it tastes just like Mars bar. I like Mars bars, but this is horrible. I'd expect to bite into a Mars bar and, lemon. No, not going to happen, is it?
I expect to taste rainbows.
Yeah.
So here's something I have to ask you guys, too. Do you get annoyed with these movies that don't necessarily focus on the story, but they focus on setting the next movie up? Like, I want them to focus on the movie that I'm watching. Make that good. And if it's
you
well received.
This one did that?
I was trying to think, where in this film did they set up for a sequel?
At the very end, did you not see the same movie I saw?
I did, but I didn't see anything about another movie.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to make a second, just to spoil it for you there. It's atrocious, and it's done terrible. It'll carry
right.
on.
But I. Terrible. There's a scene with spoiler.
No,
so,
don't.
No.
Why not? Why
okay,
can't we
okay,
talk
okay.
about spoilers?
Wait a second. We'll do this. I know how we can solve the problem of the spoilers.
Tell me.
We're gonna have exactly 5 minutes of spoiler talk. So if you want to not have any spoilers, I'm gonna start my iPhone's.
Spoiler countdown.
It's really not that great of a movie to even worry about hearing the spoiler.
No, I know, but let's do it like this. It can work, okay? Just okay. tune
he just
back
wants
in.
To use his iPhone. That's all it is.
Yeah, exactly. In 5 minutes, starting now.
Okay.
We're going to have to talk about something else after, because this ain't going to take 5 minutes, but go.
So Benicio del Toro's character bites Hugo Weaving.
Yeah.
He is now a werewolf.
No, yes. He is just a continued badass. Now with potential werewolf
he's
power.
A werewolf now.
Should he choose to allow himself to be a werewolf, because he is that badass, he can choose. It ain't the moon's choice. You make it up. I think today
no.
I will be a werewolf. No, tomorrow.
Holy crap.
And then what was the deal with the little kid in the cave? Where did he come from? And
I stopped.
Well, you don't necessarily have to explain everything.
Oh, well, I want to know what's the origination?
I really had no interest whatsoever in asking any more questions of this film other than why. Just why was I there? Why had they released it?
Okay, I have another question. Yeah. What did you think was the worst? Which one did you think was the worst werewolf, worst looking? Benicio del Toro or his daddy?
What do you mean? Like, if I was to nail one? You know, I've got a shag one, I've got a marry one, and I got a murder one. I would say Del Toro.
I was thinking Del Toro.
Just
I thought Anthony Hopkins was a terrible werewolf also. It was just the same one, but with gray hair and the sort of face of Anthony Hopkins lost in the middle of the hairy face. It was so... Okay, the transformations weren't bad.
Back and that film with Anthony Hopkins in it, just to see what Brad Pitt alongside him would be like in a really downplayed person. Yeah, it'd be good.
What about when he decides to send him in the asylum? Weren't you like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
It was... if he wants to have, like, his son being cool with him being a werewolf and all, you know, doing all the cool werewolfy things, son and dad together going to hunt stuff, he could have kept him in the house.
Yeah, he was very confusing because it was like, I don't want to lose you, but I'm going to send you to an asylum.
But that's what I thought, that maybe he'd like, you know, maybe he'd messed on the carpet or something like that. And, you know, and so he was like, this is my favorite carpet. What? Well, to the asylum. To the now.
What is it? Exilum?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
All right,
I assumed it was some werewolf thing.
Okay, come closer to the...
Oh, sorry. I'm pretty close to it.
It's getting very
you're
animated,
away.
I think.
Yeah. So okay, I think it's a lame for all of us.
Yes.
Okay, lame.
Me, but yeah.
And we have two more minutes to fill before we're
told
done
you
with
it's
the.
Too long. God,
yeah,
that's a,
you're
that's
right.
A French 5 minutes. That is.
Just, yeah. So. What?
A French 5 minutes was fun. Sorry.
Should we just talk about the next film in the next 2 minutes, and then when the people who have skipped it, that's their punishment. They haven't found out how wonderful Valentine is not. Don't worry, it's rubbish. But anyway,
no, we're gonna talk a little bit more about Wolfman.
Well,
no,
we could give some spoilers away on Percy.
Oh, that's
okay.
Right.
Percy Jackson is Luke. Does it? There you go. Job's done. Move on.
Is Luke?
Luke's the lightning thief. There you go.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
That's the story. There you go. Yep. He's got daddy issues. He wants them all to have a fight. There you go. Job's good.
Yeah.
Oh, and his black friend who's on crutches. Nah, he's a satyr. He's got goat legs. He runs around as a goat. And it's all, yeah.
When they were in the casino and he was dancing, I'm like, I would think they would notice he has goat legs.
Well, it's even worse when he got
his
pedicure. And he was getting it, his one like hoof was all being painted with nail polish.
Yeah,
and I was thinking like, okay.
Do guys actually wear red nail polish?
Yeah,
of course.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Does Mark Mark doesn't wear red shoes? Oh,
oh my God.
When you come to BlizzCon, we'll get pedicures.
Americans.
Yeah, we should do. That'd be good. But yeah, so yeah, terrible film. But terrible film.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
We broke turf, sir.
That's how bad it is. It's look, even the bot wants to join in.
Well, okay, 20 seconds to go, I guess.
Screw Flanders.
What?
Screw Flanders. That's how you fill gaps. Simpsons, Screw Flanders. Uh-huh. No?
No.
That's when Homer's short on the word count, you just write Screw Flanders like 100 times. No? Just,
no.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so welcome back, everyone, after this spoiler session, which turned out included also some Percy Jackson spoilers. So
I love the people who didn't want spoilers.
Yeah. If you didn't want spoilers about Percy Jackson, well, there you go. You can thank Terpser for that one.
What?
So the last movie we're going to be talking about today is Valentine's Day, which did we talk about it a little bit last time? I can't remember. Maybe we did after the show.
I think it was after.
So the Valentine's Day movie is directed by Gary Marshall, who directed some things that I'm looking at right now: Princess Diaries, Runaway Bride, Pretty Woman, stuff like that. I think only Pretty Woman sort of really stands out.
It's him and Michael Bay in my books. They're the two best action directors, really.
Obviously. And the thing that is more memorable about this movie is that it's probably the most incredible cast on a movie ever. It's got a ton of top-tier actors. Not, you know, the best actors in the world, but pretty...
best-looking.
Yeah, I guess. Most of the best-looking actors, or a lot of them. People like Jessica Alba, Jessica Biel, Bradley Cooper, Patrick Dempsey, Jamie Foxx, Jennifer Garner, Anne Hathaway, etc. Ashton
and the
Kutcher.
Kitchen sink.
And the, yes.
The kitchen sink. Also.
You can just call her Julia Roberts. It's not, you know, she doesn't have to go by that name.
What?
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to stop making jokes now. I'm just going to be quiet.
Maybe you should.
No.
But yes, no. So, okay, it's basically, in French, we call them a film choral, you know, choral movie, choir movie. I don't know if that translates well. Chorus. Well, it means that you have lots and lots of main characters. And it's all about the joy of Valentine's Day and how cool it is to have fun little love adventures, and many of them, together in a movie that's going to be entertaining and endearing on that most wonderful of days. So
I'm curious, I'm assuming you guys celebrate Valentine's Day?
Oh, of course, yeah.
No, well, no, we don't believe in pagan festivals.
Well, no, so, you know, I've heard of like Sweetest Day or something like that.
You guys in the third world, do you have TV?
We get the day off. We have mandatory, candy apple.
I thought it was more of an American holiday.
No,
Americans would think that, wouldn't they?
Stop it.
It's all about us. Terrible. That's why this film got made. So it's your fault, Nicole. People like you.
Yeah.
So, well, Nicole, you are a lady. You are sensitive, yes. and you can appreciate a little bit of feel-goodness. What did you think of the movie? What's so funny about this?
Just how you prepped me. So I actually saw Wolfman and then Valentine's Day. So I was pretty much going into Valentine's Day thinking, wow, anything's going to be better than what I just saw.
You were angry.
Yeah. But I will say about these kind of ensemble movies where they just put so many actors in.
Oh, that's right. Ensemble movies. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What they're called.
I don't like them. I typically do not like it when there are just so many big personalities in a movie that it just becomes almost overwhelming. I kind of liked, Love Actually. They did a really good job with that, but still, again, too many famous people in a movie for me to really, really enjoy it.
Wait a second. You didn't love
Actually? I did not love Love Actually. I thought it was okay.
Who are you? What kind of... Do you have a stone for a heart?
No, that's you, Patrick.
What I don't get is why they needed so many different people and stories.
Yeah, I got
cross-eyed in the middle. And I was like, hang on, who's that one again? And then but the thing is no one got any chance to develop. It just felt like a flick book. Like I was just kind of going through and, oh, I'm famous. Hey, I'm famous too. Hey, I'm sad now. It's Valentine's Day. What's that about?
Okay, wait a second, Terpster. Let Nicole finish her.
Yeah, Terpster. Sheesh.
Jeez.
So anyway, I thought it was a fun movie. Again, the storylines, like Terpster was saying, there was just too many of them going on in the movie, and it was, for the most part, they kind of tied it in a bow by bringing everybody's story connecting together. And there was a funny moment in the movie. There was a pretty funny moment. Only because the theater that I was in, when the scene happened, there was a girl that screamed, "What the F?"
Did she say F?
No, she said the actual word.
Okay.
So I laugh more at that than the movie.
Can you tell what that scene was without saying what the scene was?
No, I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
Because it's kind of...
Well, unlike the other ones, we're pretty certain that this movie, a lot of people are actually going to see it because it's like Valentine's Day and,
I was surprised. There was a lot of people in the theater for The Wolfman. There was maybe 10. And for Valentine's Day, it was almost... The whole theater was almost full.
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean, if you're looking for a feel-good kind of lovey-dovey movie, and I have to admit I was kind of in the mood for that, it's not too bad. But, I mean, as far as the stories goes, there's just if they had just maybe toned down how many fractured points of the storyline, it might have been a little bit better for me. But all in all, it wasn't too bad. I wouldn't say I hated it. I wouldn't say I loved it either.
So
but again... I don't typically like those types of movies when there's just too many actors, famous actors in a movie, because I don't really know who to attach myself to.
So meh or?
Meh.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm going to go next because I've decided I would.
That's fine. That's your prerogative.
Since you do date night, I'm curious, because didn't you talk with John over on Negative Cutters about this movie?
Yeah, we did. And it was pretty much exactly what I thought it was going to be, and which I said in Date Night. So go listen to that. Okay, Terpster, what do you... No, okay, I'm kidding. It's basically... And for the record, I saw Wolfman, Percy Jackson, and Valentine's Day all on the same day.
Wow.
all in a row.
And that's hardcore.
By the end, I would, yeah. Well, I wish one of them had been a good movie.
Yeah. So that would have been nice.
As I was thinking, I mean, this is a whole lot of meh.
Well, for me, the two previous ones are lame. So you can imagine. I did Wolfman, Valentine's Day, and then to top it off, Percy Jackson. I have to say, I wasn't completely horribly bored in any of them, but after 6 hours in the theater, I was sort of pining for more than just, you know, quiet acceptableness.
Did they think you were some sort of sad loser just kind of hanging around for 6 hours? I bet they were, all the people working there were like, oh.
No, because I was
this
like,
"This guy has no friends."
I was going around saying, no, I'm doing this for a podcast. I have to. I swear.
Really, you don't know me? Oh, I'm famous on the internet. Oh, don't worry. I'll sign you know it anyway. Keep it.
The usher at the movie theater I went to was like, "Oh, you're going to go see The Wolfman alone? Aren't you going to be scared?" I'm like, "What?"
Like, you should have punched him in the face.
I said, "Yeah, probably not."
You should have downright like punched him.
You should have snuck up on him later and just jumped
poor
out
girl.
On him.
Seriously, what kind of? Aren't you going to be scared? He was from like the 1900s.
Yeah, he was an older gentleman.
Ah, okay.
Oh, really?
Then maybe don't punch him in the face.
Could you imagine? All right. Call assault senior citizens.
Yeah. Let's not call for violence on senior citizens. Had he been capable to... Well, okay, never mind. Violence in general. It's because, you know, it's Fang 14. He keeps talking about Fight Club. He, you know, puts bad ideas in my head. All right, so Valentine's Day.
Does that mean
Day.
That he's you?
What?
Is huh? it like Fight Club?
We don't know. Okay. So Valentine's Day, it's sort of the movie that wanted to be... in the same way that Percy Jackson wants to be Harry Potter, Valentine's Day wants to be Love Actually and fails miserably. So Valentine's Day doesn't fail as much as Percy Jackson does, meaning it's not completely asinine. It's sort of, you know, acceptably dull. But it's really, really not Love Actually. It's the stories don't work as well. There's one of the stories which is a kid, you know, in love, because everyone's in love, obviously, in the movie. And just like in Love Actually, there's a whole range of people, and one of them is a kid, and he's also in love. In Love Actually, it works perfectly well. It's absolutely believable. It's, well, maybe not believable, but at least very cute and endearing. In this one, it just falls flat, not believable at all. And some of the storylines are okay. Some of them are mediocre. All of them are completely... Well, most of them are completely expected. You know exactly how it's going to go. So I would say it's not a bad movie. If you want an ensemble movie, an ensemble romantic comedy, just go watch Love Actually again. Even if you've already seen it, you will have a better time than watching Valentine's Day.
Holiday.
I'm sorry?
I like The Holiday.
Yeah, but that's only four.
But that's enough, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I would think, you know, if you want a romantic comedy, there are better movies than this one. Yeah. If you have to watch it, if you have like a bunch of terrorists coming up to your house, putting a gun to your holding a gun to your head,
or like
you're
a
not,
podcast.
Or, yeah, for example, if a podcast makes you see it, you're not going to have a horrible time. You're not going to, you know, rather you were sick in a hospital or worse, that's what some movies might make you feel like. But it's really not worth your time if you don't really have to see it.
It's a good airplane movie.
Not even.
Well, if you're stuck on an airplane for 5 hours.
Yeah, there are
better things to do. It's not 5 hours long.
Well,
felt like it at times. In fact, the problem with this film, the reason why it sucked is because of its name, its whole kind of hook, which was it happened on Valentine's Day. If they'd called it Valentine's Week and had a bit of kind of journey in there and had, you know, time for these relationships to kind of breathe a bit, you know, the fact it all happened on one day and it was
it would
kind of
be
confusing.
Better.
It was just too much.
You think it was, if it was done over a week, it would be better?
I think you could have had more interesting things in there than just have this impossible kind of emotional roller coaster over a day.
Was it just me, or was the role that, what's her name? She was the sex phone operator. That was weird.
Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
A little bit. They all have to have a gimmick. They all have to have a thing. And some of them are okay, but when you have to do like 15 different characters, at some point it's not going to. And, you know, Jessica Biel complaining about being like lonely.
Yeah,
and
I didn't buy that for a second.
Dude, yeah, come
she
on.
She totally did not ask me first, because I would have been all like, yeah, I'm not doing anything. That's fine. Let's go hang out. Was it Valentine's Day? It's not a date. It's okay. It's just chilled. We just, oh, okay. Whoa, you're forward.
Chocolate?
And yeah, she's stuffing herself with chocolate like all throughout the day.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's thinner than my pinky.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Okay, so it's a lame for me.
And it's a lame from me. I don't know. What was I meant to show?
I don't know. I was like, oh, do we need to...
I thought I'd already established I didn't like it. But if, yeah, lame.
Okay, so lame.
See, I can't decide.
It's a meh for you.
Yeah, it's a meh. It's a meh.
This is terrible. We need... You know, you did this whole kind of statistic on how many woots we'd given. You must have given the most mehs.
Probably.
Yeah, I guess so.
Just because I love movies, and there's just certain, and it all just depends on my mood. And I was kind of in the mood to see that kind of lighthearted movie. Even though it wasn't a great movie, I still wouldn't say I hated it. So
no, I didn't hate it either, but it's really not a good movie at all. It's, that's, again, my yardstick. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. I don't think so. Man, unless you're really, really, really needing a romantic comedy and you've seen all of the other ones. But, yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay, Patrick. It's just a movie.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the chart. We have all of them are lames for Terps Are in Me, and only, you know. And we didn't give any woots today.
No woots.
It's only lames and mess.
It's the time of year, I think. They're putting out all the crap.
Possibly, yeah.
Really, though?
Well, let's hope.
There must be a good film out there somewhere.
Well, maybe next week we're going to be reviewing good movies. We're going to be talking about Alice in Wonderland and Shutter Island, I think. Are they going to be out for you?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I was impressed that we all were able to see all three movies.
Oh, I wasn't. It's like a curse. That's what it is. It's like when we can all see them, you know it's going to be terrible.
That's very possible, yeah. all right, so I think we're done with the movies of the show. Let's move on to the recommendals.
It's recommendal.
Keep going.
No, I'm done.
I like it. Okay.
I don't know the theme tune, so I won't be able to join in.
You have to make it up.
Oh, yeah. Do you? Okay.
Yep.
Yes. Recommendals. Bum, recommendals. 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 The only reason I'm doing that is because my recommendal is Ghostbusters. Yeah! Ghostbusters.
That is terrible.
Is that your recommendal?
That is my recommendal.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Oh, that was Ghostbusters.
That was Ghostbusters.
Recommendal.
Recommendal.
That sounds like it sounds like Inspector Gadget.
What? That would be. Yeah, exactly. Recommendal. Yeah, it's not.
So Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Do I have to say anything more? Surely everyone's seen it already. But anyway, I thought it was a cop-out. But if you haven't seen Ghostbusters, you have to see Ghostbusters. It is the amazing, amazing film starring Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Sigourney Weaver, Harold Ramis, and who was it? Ernie Hudson was Winston. And it's amazing, absolutely amazing film. Ghostbusters 2 is also very good, but Ghostbusters 1 is actually my favorite.
Do you think they're going to make a third?
They are making a third.
Because the video game felt like the third, which was kind of fun.
It totally was, exactly.
Yeah.
But I think the third one's meant to have the originals in, but then I thought like Simon Pegg and things like that were rumored to be involved, but I don't know. I might just
he would fit the world quite well, I think.
Yeah, but anyway, awesome, awesome.
Yeah, so you don't want to say anything else about?
Well, everyone's seen it, so I don't know what to say really.
Well, okay, it was a very, very important movie of the 80s, mm-hmm. and I think, well, wow, now that I'm saying that, I'm thinking you probably never saw it. You only saw it a long time after it came out, Terpser.
Oh, so it was completely lost on me. I was all like, oh, what? There's ghosts? We don't have them in the future. What's this about?
No, I just mean that it wasn't part of your upbringing experience.
Yeah, it was
for
more
you,
of
you know?
My upbringing experience, because I was actually being brought up when I was watching it. You had already been brought up. You were already
sure.
a old man.
Okay, fine.
I have memories of that movie. We actually rented a VHS player in order to watch that movie.
That's how good this film is. There you go. That should be on the box. That should be on the DVD.
Because when the movie came out at that time, nobody really owned VCRs.
It was in 84 for those who don't remember.
Yeah, so it was right around
that time.
Betamax.
Cool. Ghostbusters. Watch it. Nicole.
So my recommendal is a movie that I just watched called Milk. And I've heard great things. And of course, you know, Sean Penn, he won an Oscar for, I think, his role. Yeah, won two Oscars. And I finally got a chance to give it a watch. It has Sean Penn. It has Josh Brolin, James Franco.
So basically, you're recommending a movie that I recommended 8 months ago.
Well, probably. So okay. I didn't see it on the list.
Yes, it is.
Is it? Where is it?
8 months ago.
Oh, it is. I finally watched your recommendal, and I'm going to vouch for you, Patrick.
Thank you. I like it.
I don't know.
It was on our third show that I recommended it, so it was a long time.
And I just recently, got back from San Francisco yesterday, and I watched it as I flew out to San Francisco, and it's all about kind of the gay movement in San Francisco. So I thought it was just a really great movie, and I had no idea about that story. So it's an important piece in history, I think, that a lot of people don't know. So
it's a story of Harvey Milk, who was the first gay elected official, mm-hmm. was it? Openly gay elected official? Because those closet ones, there were a ton of them, I can tell you that. Okay, that was supposed to be funny. Apparently it wasn't. one thing I'd like to say about this movie is that, like I said in our third episode, I expected to be supremely annoyed by Sean Penn. And isn't he completely amazing in this movie?
He was really, and James Franco really surprised me too. I thought he was wonderful in this. I just really liked the movie. It was kind of one of those movies that by the end of it, I was like, wow, and it stuck with me. So I'm after watching it, it says a lot about a movie for me that I keep thinking about the movie and just remembering a lot of it. So it wasn't the type of movie that I just watched and kind of, oh, I'm done with that movie. It stayed with me. It was very powerful. So that's why I wanted to recommend it as well. Because not everybody might have gone back to episode 3 and heard your recommendal.
Oh, yeah, totally.
We didn't even call them recommendals back then, right?
They were, minute reviews, and that was way more than a minute.
So my recommendal is a wonderful little movie called Little Miss Sunshine.
Have we not done that already?
Don't think I have. I might have talked about it, but
awesome.
Let me check. I don't think I have. No, I haven't.
Okay.
I mentioned it. I'm sure I mentioned it. But if you haven't seen it, it's one of those independent movies where you think it's going to be boring, but it actually is anything but.
That's a good movie.
It's got a cast of very interesting and fun characters that are also deep. It's sort of the, I guess I did recommend Juno at one point, and it's the same kind of Sundance, you know, kind of independent movie where the characters really go through something transformative. But and it, so it's sort of a psychological drama. You could go as far as calling it that. But it's not the boring kind. You really have fun watching the movie. And it's a thing that we Europeans would benefit a lot from learning how to do, because we know how to make deep, you know, movie, deep dramas, but they're just very dramatic and boring. These movies like Juno and Little Miss Sunshine sort of achieve the same kind of reflective, you know, reflecting on life and what does it mean to be happy or unhappy and to live, except they do it in a fun and entertaining way.
Yeah.
And I think it's really a great quality in a movie to be able to achieve those two things.
Does that cool dance as well, so...
I'm sorry?
Does the cool dance, you know?
Also, that is an excellent point.
Thank you.
But yeah, it's just, you know, you will not be sorry you watched the movie. And you can even sound a little bit, you know, intellectual if you're like, your friends are like, yeah, I just watched Transformers 2. And you're like smoking your pipe, or don't smoke, kids. You know,
swirling your brandy.
Exactly. Or don't drink.
Don't drink, though. No. Just swirl it. Don't
like,
drink.
Oh,
it.
I just watched Little Miss Sunshine. It was an excellent study on the family dynamic of the middle class America.
I like the bit like where that. The girl danced to the song.
Exactly. So anyway, yeah, it's really an excellent movie, and the one point that you have to remember is that it's not boring. So there you go.
Unlike all of today's movies.
You mean recommendals?
No, the movies. The actual movies.
Oh, unlike
all good.
Yeah. Oh, right. Sorry, I didn't hear all of what you were saying. Yeah. So I guess that's it.
Wow. Are we done?
I think so.
Well, actually, no, we're not done. We have iTunes reviews.
Oh, yay, iTunes reviews. Let me read one from the UK. You carry on. I'm just firing up iTunes.
Okay. So I have a few. We have some really nice ones, and we had one that wasn't so nice. He doesn't like you, Patrick. But
okay, don't read
five
it,
star, though,
it's
yeah?
Fine.
No.
What? Rubbish. Get rid of it.
And what I don't understand is he's only focusing on Patrick, and it's like me and you, Terpster, aren't even on the show.
All right. I'm liking this guy already.
All right. So I'm actually going to finish Pat. I'm going to finish reading Pat's iTunes review because it's actually really nice. So they say, great podcast. This is the only podcast that I listen to now because I just can't get enough of it. The three hosts are funny and even a lot like the three American Idol judges. Terpster is Randy because he gets...
Oh, totally am.
Because he gets some humor in there and has an attitude that says, it's all good. Nicole's
it's
like Paula.
Good,
dog.
Dog.
So Nicole's like... So Nicole's like Paula because she's the easiest one to impress in a good way. And this is why I counted our woots, by the way. Because I'm like, I don't think I woot too many movies. And Patrick's like Simon because he can be the harshest and
he's
has
grumpy.
The quirkiest accent.
I'm sorry, what are we being compared to?
American Idol judges. Do you not watch American Idol?
How come the English guy on American Idol isn't me?
How can you not watch American Idol? Oh, wait, you're in France.
How can you watch that crap? Jeez. I have half a mind booting you off the call right now.
Are you talking to me?
No.
You know what I liked about that?
Not be talking to me.
I like
I'm sorry.
About
oh, God. I made her angry. Guys, you don't want to make Nicole angry.
Okay.
I love American Idol.
Anyway, I'll finish the review now. Okay. All I ask that you say the names of the awesome song you play at the beginning and end of the podcast and do a spoiler section at the end. I really want a spoiler review of Avatar. Oh, and the Percy Jackson. Oh, I already talked about the Percy Jackson comment. Okay. And to make this comment that much longer, I'm literally listening to the podcast right now and coming up with more stuff. Please stop talking over / interrupting Nicole and Terpstra.
That's
Patrick.
Stupid. What the hell? Oh, it's Patrick. Sorry. Should let finish.
They can be funny. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Pat.
I think from all this, all these reviews we've got, there's a common theme. People don't like Patrick. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe, Patrick, you could just host the call next time and just mute yourself. And then me and Nicole can just entertain everyone and get 5-star reviews, 6-star reviews. You know, it'd be brilliant.
No, I love Patrick.
Exactly. I'm waiting now for the next set of reviews where they're all going to be, ah, Patrick's amazing, 5 stars. What about on the French iTunes site? Do they like you in France?
Patrick, are you there?
No, I'm just waiting for you guys to stop talking so I can say something. See, people, that's what happens when I don't interrupt them. I never get to talk. You wouldn't know because I always interrupt them. But
I'm sure I do the same thing to you guys too.
Not really. I think I'm the one who's interrupting everyone all the time. He might have a point there. All right, another review.
Well, I'll read one from the UK, but I'm not reading out the last line because it's just filthy. But anyway, not Woot, Wootalicious by Matadox. And it's mixing a WoW nerd, a woman crazy enough to marry a man obsessed with wood, and a French dude with an accent sexy enough to steal your girlfriend or make her think you're gay. Makes the greatest movie podcast on the planet. It isn't often I smile for 1 hour plus straight. I don't know what that means. This podcast does it. It will then give you the best insight in the world of movies ever. And I'm not going to read the last line because it makes me a bit queasy. But anyway, yeah, good.
All right, thank you.
Do you have any iTunes review in the French store? Do you even look?
Couple. Yeah, okay. Of course okay. I do. But, you know, we don't get a lot. We got one from Florent, who is the guy who puts
it.
Up
yeah.
the, who puts up the shows on the web for, you know, he helps me out on the website.
Is that his official title? Because that must be one hell of a name badge. It goes what? On. He yeah, has got that, a title, it is. It's just like, here's Lawrence, who he's the man who puts out, you could fit on a name badge. It'd be terrible. You'd have to just call him CEO.
He gives us 5 stars and he says, the Movielicious is a very interesting podcast about movies made by people like you and me, and that is its charm. And I think he's got a point. Uh-huh. And he also says, I think the uploader, he means the guy who uploads the shows, is awesome. I love this guy. No, I'm not subjective.
Is that guy him?
Yes.
That's a little bit self-serving. I don't really like that.
Yeah, I can understand why you wouldn't like that kind
of
behavior.
Doesn't sit well with me.
I have one more to read just because I like his name. His name's Henry Flapjacks. And he says, it's a 5-star.
You got to read it like, hello, I'm Henry Flapjacks.
He says, good. Why is this person laughing hysterically to himself? Is that a crazy homeless person? Is it a jerk talking on a Bluetooth headset? No, it's someone listening to the Audible. Oh, I can't pronounce that word. That is the Movielicious. It might be hard to spell.
That word. What is it?
Oh, it's sorry. It's aphrodisiac.
Okay, cool.
Oh,
That is the Movielicious. It might be hard to spell, but easy to listen to with Patrick, Nicole, and Terpster. Just radiant, brilliant film critic and good humor. The podcast makes me feel like I'm waking up to a rustic cabin in the mountains with the smell of my Swedish supermodel wife cooking me maple smoked bacon with breakfast, wearing nothing but an apron.
Jeez, we have that effect?
I guess.
I want to listen to that.
Sounds good. I want to be a lumberjack.
Hey, by the way, I got a Twitter earlier in the week of a guy saying that he wanted to stop listening to the show because apparently his girlfriend was finding me way too sexy.
Ooh.
Oh, so that's why maybe they all don't that. Like Patrick in the reviews.
There you go.
Who's lost partners to him.
Didn't you have one where the guy was, or the person was, very angry with me?
Who?
Me?
Nicole. You said you had one.
I did. Did you really want me to read it?
Oh, sure. Oh,
totally.
Go ahead.
I want to hear this.
He just says, unsubscribe. A stuffy French guy who likes Wolverine more than Star Trek and The Hangover. No thanks.
That's it? That's his argument?
That's rubbish. There's like a million things you can say about Patrick better than that.
Oh, absolutely. If you want to trash me, there are so many things you can say, and that is not an encouragement, people.
I thought it was more funny than anything.
Come on, because you disagree with my choices. That is intolerant, sir.
Also,
you are
stupid.
A racist.
But it's stupid,
and you
Patrick,
are completely...
He's unsubscribed. He's not going to hear this. So we can say whatever we want about him. And I'm going to say, I think he's a lovely gentleman. And he will never hear that compliment. So I think, really, the egg is on his face.
All right. As you know, we sort of turned this segment into just reading the wonderful comments and having fun with you guys telling us what you think about the show. But it's more a service that you're giving us, because it helps us getting more, being a little bit more visible on the iTunes store, and that's always good. So if you have
one day we'll be Film Sack.
Yeah, what's that about? It's just there's a cartoon picture for this logo, and all of a sudden he gets, you know, higher than us in the ratings.
Patrick, we need a new logo.
We do?
Yeah, that's what it is. We need to do a cartoon logo. Let's get Kinchel to put us on like a poster.
We'll try that. Or we could get someone famous to be on the show.
Mm. Or we could ask our listeners to give us a 5-star review.
Also. Or we could try to get Jessica Biel on the show.
I'm sure that
would boost it. Yeah. Let's try that. Or Bradley Cooper.
I would like that.
I would like that as well. I'm going to get on that one as well.
All right, let's move on to the various ways that people can get more of the deliciousness that you two are on the web, because I know that you have quite a bit to talk about.
Terpster has
today,
a ton to talk
especially
about.
Terpster.
Oh, little old me. Oh, I guess I you can follow me at twitter.com/the_T. It's a blessed place to go because you can find out about what I'm doing, and as they've said, I'm doing so much. I'm doing a crazy amount of things. I'm on the Giant Enemy Crab podcast, which is a general gaming show. I'm also now back with Mike Schramm, completely not in a gay way, on the incredible podcast of Amazing Awesomeness, which was at number 2 in the charts, is now at number 7. Gah. Oh, I thought we had a following. That's basically just all things geeky and fun things like that. And then there's other things I do as well. You can go to terpsdivision.tv where there will be more stuff churning out on there. Or you can go to theincrediblepodcast.com for that particular show. Thank you.
By the way, I've listened now to the first episode of The Incredible Podcast, which I think you should shorten the name.
Yeah. Tipple.
Yeah.
That's what
Incredible Podcast is pretty cool. Incredible Podcast of Amazing Awesomeness is sort of trying too hard.
It's like a parentheses bit. You know, it's like the Incredible Podcast of Amazing Awesomeness. Yeah,
I guess so. And so I've listened to the first show, and I still don't know what it's about.
We don't know what it's about. That's the beauty of the Incredible Podcast.
So. That's the pilot. Like,
it's bigger than we are. That's saying something, you know.
But I have to say it reminded me of a very, very happy times with the WoW Insider show when,
when it was good. I know, yeah. You can't say that. You can't say that. I just did.
Oh, snap. Okay. Nicole, what do you have to offer our wonderful listeners apart from your presence on this show?
They can follow me on Twitter, too, at twitter.com/NicoleSpag. And I, too, much like Terpster, have a video game podcast. And it is called
it's
Ladies
actually
of
better than mine, just
I think that video game fad is going somewhere.
I know. You know, if Terpster had a vagina, I would have him on the show.
Oh.
But
I'm sure that could be arranged.
I'm sure it can be. That would be good.
Oh, but Ladies of Lead is ladiesofleet.com. And someone did mention in the chat room, remember that Nicole... T, are you giving away a beta key for...
I
Star
certainly
Crash
am. Team. Yeah, yeah. On Giant Enemy Crab this week. Yeah,
I'm giving one away on Ladies of Elite.
I know so, everyone's giving away. It's stupid. They're selling for like $300 on eBay.
I know.
I feel like I need to have my brain removed and washed.
So
I would probably be doing nothing. But anyway, you know.
I'm guessing all the instructions are on your podcast for how they can get that key. I'm assuming. I don't know. What, I'm just. I know it's on.
I assume they have to listen to the podcast.
No, they don't have to actually listen to the podcast. They can just. They can actually become a fan of Lee's Elite on Facebook.
She's fan rubbish, baiting.
I'm fan baiting. Yeah.
No, we're just doing it. For
it's
the
actually
listeners.
Less work because then I can just pick from that list and I don't have to, and I can contact them. I don't have to worry about emails and all that stuff. So that's
fine.
That's,
I just ask for them to send me their social security number and that's it. And we do a random drawing from that. So it's a lot less intrusive, I think, than asking someone to be a fan on Facebook.
Aren't you asking them to be a fan on Twitter?
Well, no, not necessarily. We don't know how we're giving it away yet, but we'll figure it out by the time it's a show. So
I actually have
fan page thing.
I actually define my parameters, so.
All right. Well, thank you very much to the both of you. And you, listener, if you are not already following these fine folks on Twitter, then you should. And if you're not on Twitter, then you should be, because it's the cool new thing.
And also follow Patrick left behind. At Not Patrick.
Oh, but it is that's Patrick. So kind. But that's so kind. You can follow me on Twitter at NotPatrick, and you can have lots of information about the show at themovielicious.com, which will redirect you to the actual show's page. Thanks a lot, everyone. We will talk to you in 2 weeks when we will be reviewing Alice in Wonderland and Shutter Island. Have a good time, people. See you then.
Bye.
Oh right, we didn't say what the name of the song was.
You can
stand up and dims, dims,
so. That song is a song from my brother's band, Le Gros Tube, and it's called Sped Up and Dance.